Lord, we thank you, we bless you. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, it illuminates the way, God. It's our standard, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. Thank you for the book of Ruth, which lets us know that you never stop working. That you are a healer, you are a restorer, you are a redeemer. Thank you for your word, Lord, that just extends grace throughout as we walk in obedience. God, it's a grace and mercy and blessings that are extended to those that take the challenge and live according to your word. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Speak to us now. Thank you for all fathers. Thank you for all men. Thank you for the women and the children that are here. We couldn't be fathers without the women. I don't care what anybody says. You can't be a father without a woman. So we thank God for the fathers and the mothers. And then the children that are produced. God, bless them. We thank you for our children. That teaches us humility. Teaches us to depend on you as the ultimate father. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at Luke 23, try and put together a message. Let me go over flawed fathers again. Fathers, faithful, anointed, teachers, healers, earners, resilient, and servants. It's what a flawed father, that's our goal. That's what we're trying to be. That's what we're trying to do. As I was reading this and meditating on this, throughout the week, God showed me that it's all about relationships. This passage right here, I'm going to relate it to fathers. It's 12 things. God gave me 12 things that a man must do. It applies, the principles apply to women as well, so I'm not being discriminatory. But I'm using it because in the context of Father's Day, 12 things that a man must do to be that the godly man and the godly father that God has called him to be. And just like the principles applied in Mother's Day, when we went over the story of Moses' mom and the providence and the plan, her plan and God's providence, those principles apply to us as men. So ladies, you don't tune me out. I want you to take notes as well. Amen? I will be using the term interchangeably, fathers and men and man, because remember, a father is a man, correct? It still takes a man and a woman to produce a child, correct? So a man is a father, correct? So I'll be using the terms interchangeably. So we pick it up, Luke 10 and 23. Jesus has just sent the 70 out. Think about it. It's all about relationships. Why did Jesus send them out two by two and he sent out 70? Because he wanted them to go and minister to the people so that the people could have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all about relationships. Why do you and I go out and minister? We want people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes it takes building a relationship with people, and then they see the love of Christ in us, and then they fall in love with Christ. But it's because of the relationships that's been established. So as we go through this passage, keep in mind it's all about relationships. Look at in verse 23, the first relationship. He turned to him unto his disciples and said privately, number one, make a note, you got to have your private time. Men, fathers, ladies, anybody that hears my voice, you got to have your private time, your daily private time with Jesus. Turned to his disciples privately. Why? Because they had relationship. I don't know what we're doing if we're leaving the house without having private meditation, worship, and prayer time in God's word each day. It is a must. Men. Amen. Fathers. Amen. And I'm not saying a long time. I'm saying 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes. Just as you would anything, your workout routine, you go to the gym, you don't stay there 10 hours the first day, maybe you stay 30 minutes. Then you build up to it, but you got to start somewhere. Verse 24 or verse 23, and he turned unto him, unto his disciples and said privately, man, blessed are your eyes, which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to discern and hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. Why? Because Jesus wasn't with them. They followed a cloud, they followed a pillar, the cloud, the fire, but they didn't have Jesus with them. Jesus said, man, you're with me. They were all excited. Look at 10:17, I believe it was. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. They were so excited to see those things and to be with Jesus. The prophets and the kings of old didn't have that. We have it. We're blessed, he said, that you're blessed because you see and hear these things. They would have loved to do it. Family, we have Christ on the inside of us with the Holy Spirit. We're blessed because of that. They're all excited. Verse 18, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from the sky when he got kicked out. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but look at the relationship. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't get excited about all the other stuff, all the blessings, and be excited because your name is written in the heaven. Because you know what? We all got to transition one day. And we got to be excited about that. All the other stuff is good, but you better be excited. He said, look, you got power. I've given it to you. Through me, through you, you have the power. But don't be excited about that. Because we know power can corrupt. We know that we can get into ourselves and lose sight of what really to be excited about. Be excited because our names are written in heaven because we belong to Christ. It's all about relationship. So then we pick it back up at verse 25. I have a bunch of read this. So I'm apologize already for reading all this. Let's go back to 10:24. Here's the notes. I have notes on my notes. I encourage you to take notes. Take notes at home. Take notes wherever you are. God is always speaking. You just have to be listening. Then you line it up with God's word. But God's going to speak to you. Write it down. God shared with me that there are specific, here's a revelation, there are specific things Christ wants to reveal to you, but you won't see them unless you spend that quality time with him. Let me say it again. God wants to speak to your heart, but if you don't spend quality time with him, he can't reveal it to you. They didn't see or hear them because they didn't spend personal time with Christ like the disciples did. And you and I have the opportunity to do so. We are so privileged to have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living in us. First thing is a quality time. Daily. Number two, our life has to be filled with some type of mission work. They went out and they saw how blessed they were for telling others about Christ. As a man, our life must be filled with some type of mission work. And not just giving back and giving money to someone, not being a philanthropist. That's fine and dandy, but as a father, a man of God, you must consist of a mission work where you are sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Because Jesus Christ is the only person that saves us and transfers to the next life. The other stuff doesn't. So we have to have some type of mission work involved. We have to be on a mission to share Christ with whoever will listen. When an opportunity happens on the job, at the gym, in the grocery store, wherever you are, you have to be mission-minded as a man of God. So here we are, we pick it up in verse 25. It said, and behold, a certain lawyer. It's always a certain one. Somebody say amen. It's always certain ones. Remember, it's not everybody. It's not everybody, but there are certain ones. And so when I looked up the lawyer, I would think it was a lawyer who, you know, you think of a lawyer in court, what are you, Perry Mason, right? Yeah. Who's the other lawyers out there, the TV lawyers out there? Who are you? Madlock. What's the other one? Law and Order, right? But this lawyer, so I was thinking of that, but when I did the research, this is a lawyer who understood the law, the Mosaic law, first five books of the Old Testament, which we call the Torah. So this is someone who is fluent in the word, in the Jewish law, the Jewish custom. And so he stood up and tested him or tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So he said, you're a lawyer, you understand this, what's written? He answered him, saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and you shall live. So number one, a father has to know that his eternal future is secured. A father has to know that his eternal soul and destination is secured. Somebody say amen. Hey, fathers, you can't live a confused and insecure spiritual life. A father has to share Christ with his wife, his children, in hopes that they will receive Christ and accept and choose Christ. Notice it's a choice as their Lord and Savior to make sure their eternal future and destination is secure. That's number three. A father has to know that his eternal destination is secured. Amen. So Jesus is telling him, he said, God has to be first in your life. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Then he says, you have to love your neighbors as yourself. And when we look at that, fathers, that means God is first, our family second, and then somewhere we're around third or fourth or fifth. It has to be somewhere around there. Can't tell you how many couples couples that my wife and I have counseled from time to time whose main complaint about their spouse is that they're not happy. Make a note, spouses, either or spouse. First off, that's too much pressure on your spouse to make you happy. Somebody say amen. That's not our job. I mean, we want to do that to a certain extent, but your joy has to come from God. Way too much pressure on somebody else to make you happy. Because if you don't have joy in God, you're not going to find happiness in man. If you don't have joy in God and from God, you're not going to find happiness in a man or a woman. I'm telling you that right now. It's God first, your spouse second, then your kids, and then we're somewhere after that. I understand that as a man of God. I understand that. The tough thing is to not live according to our Jeeps. Talk about it all the time. The Jeep, first Jeep spelled with a J. Your jealousy, your ego, your envy, your pride. Second Jeep spelled with a G, your greed, your envy, your ego, your pride. Third Jeep with S, your jealousy, your ego, your envy, your pride, and your selfishness. Never works as a father. It doesn't work. Not a man of God as a father. Because you'll get in your Jeep and you'll tear everything up. And God is about relationships. And your Jeep will go running through and you will destroy everything in its way and run it over. And look what Jesus asked him in verse 28. He said, can you do it? Thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Can you do it? What it was you want us to do, God? He said you got to receive, submit, surrender, commit, believe, and trust in Christ. That's number one. All the requirements of God, all the commandments of God are wrapped up in these two things. Love God with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and then love others as yourself. It's about relationship with God, relationship with others. All this other stuff, come on, it's going to pass away. I can't let my greed destroy my relationship with my brothers, because that stuff is going to come and go and collect dust, and moths are going to eat it. I buy me a new car with my greed, and it just sits there, and it's going to get old and raggedy. I sit in my big empty house because of my greed, and I didn't dog everybody else out. I sit around and look at a big house, and it's empty, and it's lonely, and it's frustrating, because I thought stuff would make me happy, but God said it's him first and then serving others next. Receive, submit, surrender, commit, believe, trust in Christ, then serve others. You know why? And you will have the best of both worlds, because you truly can't serve others without the assistance of Christ. Somebody say amen. You can't serve nobody without the assistance of Christ and the Holy Spirit. You know why? You'll be frustrated, disappointed in people. You'll be looking for something in return. You'll be looking for accolades, a pat on the back. You're looking for man-made appreciation. You'll be looking for self-promotion. You want others to acknowledge how humble you are. Hey, y'all know how humble I am? Y'all know how loving and giving I am? Did you see what I just did, what I just gave, what I just sacrificed? Can't do it without the help of Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's not going to work. Christ says, love God first, serve others second. And I wrote, and keep your mouth shut and expect nothing. I added that part. And you have the best of both worlds. Blessed on earth and eternity with Christ. What else do we need? Verse 29. Look what happens. Then he, willing to justify himself, said, Jesus, who is my neighbor? I want to hide behind excuses. I don't understand what you're saying, God. I don't even know who my neighbor is, so it's no way I can do that. Number five. Are we on number five? Who's taking notes? We're on four. Okay, let me get number four. Number four, God has to be first in your life and others have to be second. That's number four. Serving God first and then serve others, that's number four. Number five, we have to eliminate all excuses of why we can't live this type of life as a father, as a man, as a mother, as a woman. We have to eliminate all excuses for why we can't love God and why we can't love and serve others. The greatest is required to serve, love, and sacrifice for others. That's what the scriptures say. You're last in God's eyes if you're serving yourself. So here we go. So Jesus has to teach a parable, which we know is an earthly illustration with a godly message. Jesus answering said, a certain man. There we go. Now another certain man. It's not all men, but this time it was a certain man. Went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was in Jerusalem, went to Jericho, so we know he was Jewish. Bless you. We know he was a Jewish man. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Not half alive. This dude was half dead. Okay? We used to have a cat in our neighborhood named Half Dead. We did. I don't know why he was half dead, but I guess that was his nickname. He agreed to it. Remember, it's not what you called, it's what you answer to. How are you going to let somebody call you half dead? But anyway, this guy is half dead, and man, look what God was speaking to my heart, and I wrote it down. It says we have to empathize. Number six, we have to empathize with others. Because you and I could be and have been that certain man. I've been that certain man that finds himself in a tough spot. And we can't forget once our health improves and once our finances improve And then we get another job after we were laid off or released from a job or we're in between jobs. We just can't forget and see somebody laying out and need help and just walk by them because I'm a self-made man. You get yourself up like I got myself up. How soon we forget, man. Shame on us. And we've been together for 7 years. And as I look around the sanctuary, include myself, I see men who have overcome adversity. With the help, we've overcome adversity with the help of another man who shared God with us, who prayed for us, who shared Christ with us, who shared money with us, who shared resources with us, who shared compassion and love, and shared time with us, prayed for us. See, we got to, when we see that man that's down and out, we got to offer some compassion. There has to be some compassion in your heart. You got to extend grace. Why? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and extended to grace. If we're true men and women of God, it has to be some compassion, some grace in your heart for others. See this guy laid out. Can't fool ourselves. We're not self-made. Yes, we do need help, and yes, we are called to serve others and help. So here we go. Verse 31, we jump into a title. And by chance there came down a certain priest, not all priests, a priest being a man of God, and by chance, and I looked that up, chance, by accident. And so number 8, man, we can no longer be somewhere on accident. Oh, I skipped number 7. Number 7, okay. 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the street. Number 7, stop passing by with your indifference on the other side of the street. As a man of God, you cannot be indifferent and see somebody in need and go across the street. And then number 8, by chance, you can't be led by accident. You have to be led by God on purpose. Man, we just can't show up. I don't know how I got into this situation. That's because you're being led by accident. Stop passing by with your indifference on the other side of the street. Really get connected to God and not just a title. You can have a title and not be connected to God. Connect with God with your heart and your soul and be led by the Holy Spirit of God and stop being led by your biases and indifference. The priest is being led by accident. He's a title only. Not on purpose or not by God, otherwise he would have stopped and would have assisted his brother right there. We must live on purpose and stay connected to God. We can't afford to live on accident anymore. Fathers, our families deserve much more and much better than a father living on accident. Priests offered sacrifices in the temples of, in God's temple. And Father, you know you're the priest of your home. It's not your wife's place to be the priest in the home. It's the father's place to be the priest of the home. On purpose and not on accident. It says we must live on purpose and not show up to places on accident. Just like the lawyer was an expert, he was an expert in the word of God. So you can be an expert in the word of God and not know how to live according to the word. Let me say it again. You can be a priest, I don't care what your title is, in the house of God. You can have that title and not know how to live according to the word. Family, don't be impressed with titles. Don't be impressed with apostle so-and-so and bishop so-and-so. You can have a title and not have compassion in your heart and not know how to live according to the word of God. Walking around on accident, walking across the other side of the street with a title. Verse 32, and likewise on accident, a Levite The Levite is the one who prepares the stuff in the temple. So these guys were probably headed to church. You got the priest and the Levite, they take care of the church. They probably headed to church, see somebody later. I ain't got time for that. I got to go see God and people that I don't really even care about. And look at this, though. It gets better. At least he looked at him. And likewise, Levi, when he was at the place, came and looked. At least he looked at him. And then he passed by on the other side. Fathers, number nine, we have to do more than look like Christians. We got to do more than look like a Christian. We got to live like a Christian. We got to be connected to Christ, and we got to serve others. We have to do more than just look like we're on our way to church. We have to be the church from the inside out. We have to walk according to the purpose of God and stop passing by and running to the other side of the street. But look at this, though. Look how we flip the coin and look. What's on the other side of the street? Okay, let me tell you what's on the other side of the street. On the other side of the street are all the things we should not be next to. All the things that are preventing you and I from becoming connected to Christ and serving others. That's what's on the other side of the street. Ah, but look at this. What's on the other side of the street for you is different than what's on the other side of the street for me. You know what's keeping you from God, and I know what's keeping me from serving God and others. Could be your title, your job, your reputation, drugs, alcohol, men, women, or both. Pornography, social media, money, success, failure, career, your education, your intellect, and that's what you run and hide behind when God is telling and calling you to serve him and serve others. You run to the other side of the street. That's what's on the other side of the street. A bunch of lies and deception are on the other side of the street. Make a note, titles are deceiving. Don't be impressed by a title. We have to live our lives as committed followers of Christ. They're probably running late for service. Not you all are here on time, so don't worry about that. But they were probably running late for service and didn't have time for God's people laying in the street, and this guy was waiting to die. He wasn't half alive, he was half dead. Why do you run to the other side of the street, and what's your reason for running to the other side of the street? It's just, look at verse 33. Now here's a certain Samaritan. Now remember, we talked about it at the first Sunday when Jesus met the woman at the well. He was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. They have a deep hatred for each other. So remember, God doesn't discriminate. He breaks down all the biases and differences. And here's a certain Samaritan who sees a Jew who he hates. As he journeyed, came where he was. He went to where he was. Make a note of that. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Underline compassion. It's a game changer with God. How can you not have compassion after God saved you? And then just think about what we were saved from and what we're still in the midst of trying to come out of. And for me not to extend grace and compassion to somebody else, are you kidding me? We can't be like the first two men. We have to be like the Samaritan. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, remember, he's on a journey too. So he doesn't have to stop. He's on a journey. He's gone somewhere. Came where he was, and when he saw him, he looked too. When he saw him, had compassion. Verse 34, he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, to a hotel, probably the Embassy Suites or the Ritz-Carlton, and took care of him. And he said, tomorrow when he departed. So he stayed the night there. He's on a journey. He takes this guy to a hotel, gets him set up. Then he stays there too. He just didn't drop him and leave. So went above and beyond. Number 10, men, we have to go above and beyond for our families and others, and sometimes strangers. And sometimes for people we don't even like, because the Christ in us is working through us. So you out of the way, because God is first, people are second, you're somewhere third, fourth, so it doesn't even matter how you feel about them, as the Samaritan shows us. He goes above and beyond. Verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, 2 denarii, which is the money, and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will take care of it. Are you kidding me? For a stranger? So I have this. It says, thank God for certain people. See, because not everybody is like the first 2 people. Not everyone is a fake Christian. Somebody say amen. I'm so sick of the hypocritical Christians. Not everybody is a fake Christian. There are certain ones of us that are out there that are trying to do this right, that are living for God, that are committed to Christ and serving others with the right intentions and motives. And fathers, I'm challenging you to be that certain father. Men, I'm challenging you to be that certain man. Ladies, I'm challenging you to be that certain woman of God. That people can say, thank God that you are an example for others to follow. How you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you raise your kids, how you treat others. Fathers and men, be that man of God. Go above and beyond for your family and others. Let me say it again. Go above and beyond for your family and others. Not only that, go above and beyond for people who may not even like you, who may not even look like you, may not want to have anything to do with you. And here's the kicker right here. Here's the transformation. Here's the game changer. Go above and beyond for people who can't do and don't have the ability to repay you. That's when you know that you're connected to Christ and truly serving others. You can't even expect anything back, and you go above and beyond anyway. Verse 36, here's Jesus speaking. Now, which now of these three do you think was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do the same. Get out of here and do the same. So men, which type of man are you desiring to be? Remember Philippians 4:13, it's not about you, because it's about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ladies, it's not about you, it's about Christ in you, strengthening you to serve him and to serve others. You can be that father. You can be that man. You can be that mother. You can be that woman that God has called you to be. Make a note. Look at verse 36 again. It said he fell amongst thieves. And we know that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Hear what I'm saying. The thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He fell amongst thieves. And when you look at it in the spiritual sense for us, make a note that he fell amongst thieves. Remember, Satan is trying to rob us of being the men, fathers, women, and mothers that God has called you and I to be. He's trying to rob us of our relationships with our children, with our parents, with our coworkers, with our church members, and even strangers. That's what the thief, he's trying to rob you of that. Trying to rob you of the joy being a family, of having a relationship, of being the father that you've been called to do. Understand the spiritual warfare that we are in, and it's the enemy trying to rob you and I, being the men and women and children of God that we've called to be. So here's the assignment. course, a good teacher always has some type of follow-up assignment. 11, men, here's our assignment. Go and extend grace to your wives, your children, your siblings, your co-workers, your church members, and even strangers. Go and extend some grace. Send a text message to your sibling asking for forgiveness. Tell them how much you love them. Make a call and extend grace and mercy to someone. Share the fruit of the Spirit with someone based on Galatians 5:22. Share love with someone based on 1 Corinthians 13. Do this today and every day. Let's really make this a happy and blessed Father's Day. Start off with telling you, I told you it was about relationships. This whole Bible is about a relationship, a love relationship that God had for us, that he died for our sins, to love us unto himself. And now he wants us to love him first and then love others and tell them about Christ. This whole passage, fathers, it's about love. It's about relationships. All the other stuff really doesn't matter. So here's a revelation God gave me. He said, it's about relationships. Don't let the enemy rob you of the two things that really matter. Your relationship with God and your relationship with other people, your family, your friends, and strangers. I have one more thing to say for the men. You are a male by birth, but you become a true man of God by choice. That's number 12. Let me say it again. You are a male by birth, but you become a true man of God by choice. Let's really make this a happy and blessed Father's Day. Of course, I want to pray for every male in the sanctuary this morning. So I want the men to come on up. I didn't say fathers, I said men. I want all the men to come up. Huh. Come on right here, men. And just face me right here. Come on, right here, right across. Come on. Ivy, give us something. Columbo, come on up. Yeah, I want all the men. You're a young man. Got the baby up here too. Yes, we do. Yeah, you go put your hand on a man's shoulder. And we're male by birth, we're men by choice, men of God by choice. And God's challenging us. Love him first and then serve others. Ain't no way around that if you're trying to be a true man of God. And don't let the enemy rob us of that, of our relationships with your kids, with your wives, with your siblings. Don't let the enemy rob you of that. Your coworkers, be that light on the job. Be that light at the gym. Be that light in business, wherever you go, man. Be that light at home. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord. We know that we're flawed fathers. We understand that, Lord. But we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know that your grace and mercy endures forever. We know that you died on the cross for our sins. So it wasn't by work. We didn't have to earn it, Lord. We just have to receive it and then choose to be the man of God that you've called us to be. And you said you would give us the strength to do it. So God, let us get off the other side of the street. Let us stop walking on accident and passing by on accident. Let us spend that quality time with you, Lord. The priest and the Levite would have spent quality time with you. When they saw that man, they couldn't have done anything but go and help and be a blessing, seeing someone laying out half dead. And fathers, and Lord, I thank you for the fathers that's right here. These men that I have a relationship with, who's helped me in time of need, And I've been blessed enough to help others in time of their need. And then they've helped me and I've helped them. And we've prayed for each other's families and kids. We're not going to walk on the other side of the street. We're going to love you first, God, and we're going to love others as ourselves. We're going to pray for each other. I'm not going to hide behind a title and being too busy trying to get to the house of God to help a man of God. Thank you, Lord, for the relationships here that are genuine, that are real. When we were hurt, injured, sick, in the hospital, thank you for these men that's gone above and beyond to help each other, to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing it is to walk and serve with these gentlemen. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on their life according to the authority of Scripture. God, touch their heart. Put that compassion in there, Lord. So when they see somebody laid out, they feel it too. They understand. It's only by the grace of God that would be me laid out. Let me do all I can. Let me go above and beyond to help. Because the only thing that matters is my relationship with God and my relationship in serving others. Everything else is a benefit of that. And without God and others, that stuff don't mean nothing. So help us reprioritize as men. Bless these men. Bless their wives, their kids, the fathers. Give them the strength, give them the wisdom to get that private time with you. Then not only give them information and revelation, give them transformation that our lives as fathers, as men of God, will never be the same. We love you, Lord. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the flawed fathers up here.